Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mama's of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We are loving it because Boise has welcomed us with open arms, and we are here broadcasting live from Dutch Bros on Milwaukee all morning long. Come on out and see us. We're set up outside. There's tables, there's chairs, there's hot coffee. There's a good way to start your morning, and we've already met a number of great D-aliens that came out to say hello this morning. Still have a few gift cards to give away for the earliest birds that come here, so stop on by if you're rolling around Boise this morning. Say hello, watch the show, grab a gift card, and you can get on your way, on your day. Coming up this morning on the show, Reggie Brooks is going to join us. He is a former All-American running back for Notre Dame. Reggie's going to join us coming up here in about an hour from now. And in hour number four, Cam Chancellor is going to join us, which is perfect. Tons of Seahawks fans here in the area. Not far of a flight to Seattle. And Cam Chancellor is going to join us, former Seahawks legend, joining us in hour number four. So, a lot to get to this morning here on the show. And, you know, one of the things that is just awesome about Boise is that you come on out here and you meet tons of different people from tons of different places. Definitely, there's certainly a ton of people that are from Idaho, from Boise, that stay here. But it's such a wonderful place that draws and attracts a lot of people. You get to meet a lot of people from a lot of different places. And one of our listeners here, AB, is a fellow Mets fan like ourselves. And so he's a tortured soul, just like you and I. And he's been hanging out. And I don't know if you've caught any of the 30 for 30 on the New York Mets the last couple of nights on ESPN, which is all about the 80s Mets.
Yeah, I have not seen it yet. I was actually just talking about that. I need to be able to sit down and have like two-hour viewing uninterrupted, and didn't have that the last news when it's been on. So I can't wait to sit down, because has there been a bad 30 for 30? And then
no.
This one's about the Mets. So, I mean, it's just the perfect storm of remembering the only good time that I know of being a Mets fan.
Yeah, and a couple of my friends that I know that know I'm a diehard Mets fan have been texting me about this and how incredible the stories that these guys tell. Strawberry and Gooden and Dykstra and Hernandez and Darling and all of those crazy characters of those years. And it was, oh my God, they admitted this and they admitted that and they admitted this, they admitted that. And I'm like, yeah, the Mets, the 80s Mets are perhaps the last team that unapologetically were criminals. They just like, they're like, yeah, we did that. Yes, we did all of the drugs. Yes. Yeah, of course we hit on all of the women. Yeah. I mean, it's the 80s in New York, man. What do you expect from us? You know, and their TV personalities, and Keith Hernandez has been on Seinfeld. He's been an actor. And none of them apologize for how insane they were.
Right. I mean, two of the themes of that season, too, in 86, of coming together were the fights they had on the field.
Yes.
And then
yeah.
there was a brawl they had in a bar or a nightclub in Houston.
Yeah, that's right.
That was like a rallying thing as well. Plus, they needed to kind of get rid of all of their devils and their bad memories in Houston to beat those Astros teams to get to the World Series. So, yeah, I mean, they were an interesting group of men. I mean, Jeff Perlman's great book, The Bad Guys Won, about that the Mets team is perfectly titled. They were not necessarily nice guys,
no.
But they were a really, really good baseball team.
They were booze hounds and skirt chasers and drug abusers and fighters.
Right. Immoral, illegal. You know, the lines get blurred.
And they admit all of it, and that's why that swagger and that bravado and that pride is forever a great story. They're a great American sports story. They're a great team. And I'm always like, yeah, like those criminals made me love baseball forever.
Yeah.
Those guys are my heroes.
And I've told you this, my son, Jake, who's, you know, on his way to being eight, since this baseball season has been the first where, I mean, he has just completely fallen in love with the sport. It's the only thing we talk about. He's collecting baseball cards now.
Nice.
He constantly wants to play in the backyard. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And he keeps asking me about, like, comparisons, who's the best Met pitcher of all time? And, you know, Seaver, because he's Jacob DeGrom, so he loves DeGrom.
Nice.
So, like, but then when the 86 team comes up and we're talking about Gooden and Strawberry, and I'm like, well, Doc maybe should have been the best Mets pitcher of all time, and Strawberry maybe should have been the best Mets
player. Why, Daddy?
Right.
Why?
And, like, how do you, like, so, like, I don't know how you're eight. I can't really talk about cocaine with you right now.
Yeah.
So just take my word for it. They should have been good and better for longer as a Met. So it's a little disappointing. And then Gooden went and pitched a no-hitter and won World Series with the Yankees, too, just to add insult to injury. So, again, it's another reason why being a Met fan is so difficult. And I feel bad for my poor son who's going to learn all of these things soon.
Can't even tell your child why they used to be good and why they were no longer good.
Like, why isn't Gooden 16 retired? Why isn't 18 retired? Like, there's a few reasons.
Interesting that you ask that, Jake. You can't even let him watch the 30 for 30.
Well, so, I mean, like, again, I need somebody to tell me if I can let him watch it.
It's like watching Narcos. You're not allowed to actually watch under the age of 16. You can't watch it. And I'm like, yeah, those were my guys, and they still are. I mean, they still are. I just love Daryl, and I love Doc. And we've had them on the show before, and they're just sweet, kind-hearted guys. And Hernandez and Darling and all those. I mean, your heart just breaks that Gary Carter was lost so soon. And you know, all those guys. I mean, I hate Dykstra, you can't like.
He's the only one you can't like now. He's actually gotten worse since then.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's true. Somehow he became like a really terrible human being.
Yeah, or stayed it.
He stayed a terrible human being.
I think the
being,
other guys might have found on a better path. Dykstra just kept going down the dark alley and added new things, like sabotaging people. He had a magazine that was basically just a Ponzi scheme. I mean, it was a remarkable run from Lenny.
Car wash to just launder all of his money. You know, Daryl and Doc found God, and he found Satan somehow. It's like,
yeah he's nice. Like a, and he, at one point he was almost like in Howard Stern's Whack Pack because he was calling in and saying horrible things. I mean, it's just Lenny. There's been no salvation for Lenny.
Like everybody at Citi Field and within the Mets organization will at some point embrace everybody from the old Mets teams, Daryl and Doc, and everybody has made their amends. But Lenny, it's still like, yeah, we don't really need Lenny around. Nobody text him that it's the 30th anniversary.
No,
don't. We're good. Autograph signing. Yeah. Don't tell Lenny. So Urban Meyer, of course, has been connected to this USC job as USC has opened things up as Clay Helton was fired earlier this week after the disaster against Stanford. And Urban Meyer had been lurking in the weeds around USC the last couple of years. Oh, I just happened to move to Los Angeles. Oh, I'm in Los Angeles doing TV. Funny running into you guys here. You know, it was just like circling the block around USC, waiting for their AD to come out to talk to. And he was asked yesterday about whether he would leave the Jacksonville Jaguars job for the USC job. And he said, quote, no chance. I'm here and committed to try to build an organization. He was asked specifically about a timeline, how long that, you know, he's giving this whole thing to see if he can build it up. He said, I don't want to ever fall into the trap of saying this is a four-year plan, a three-year plan. That's not fair to the players. This is a one-game plan, and then we'll worry about the next game. There's some guys that played a lot of football in the locker room, and they deserve our very best. And that's what it is. Other than a bruised soul that we all have right now, we're still swinging away. And like I said, you'd probably see a little different look on my face if I had bad guys, but that's not the case at all. It's hard to reconcile the fact that you lose to the Jaguar or you lose to the Texans and it bruises your soul. Dude, you're going to have no soul left after this season if a loss to the Texans in week one bruised your soul. But, you know, on the surface, this is all the stuff that you want to hear. And I think on some level, Urban actually believes this, that he looks at the guys in the locker room and they're putting their bodies on the line for him. And by all accounts, you know, there's not necessarily a bunch of bad guys with the Jaguars organization. Trevor Lawrence is there, and so Trevor is this kind of diamond to polish, and you don't want to break that, you don't want to ruin that. And the ownership has been supportive, and it's also a fan base that probably by and large remembers the good days from the Gators days. You know, most Jaguars fans are probably Gators fans, or at least a good percentage of them. And maybe he didn't leave on the best accord, but you know, they probably remember the good times. And so I think on the surface, Urban doesn't necessarily want to just scoot. He doesn't want to jet. And I think he took this job, I'm hoping, with the best intentions. My fear is just that life changes, your feelings change, your mentality changes, and reality changes. And his reality is that when he took the job, the USC job was not open technically. And now the USC job is open. And when he took the Jaguars job, I'm sure he thought, well, I could do the NFL. This is a challenge. This is the next hill to climb. Maybe he thought, I don't have to recruit. I don't have to glad hand. I don't have to do booster stuff. You know, I get to just be a football coach. And then you get into it, and I wonder, is he still appreciative of that? I mean, it's only one regular season game in. So that's not that big a deal. You know, you're not already into a slog of November or December and you're over your head and, you know, you're sick and tired of the losing and you've lost 12 games already, etc. But I just think that Urban can say these things. It's hard for me to imagine that he feels these things today, tomorrow, and every day moving forward. And who knows what happens with the USC. I don't think they're going to fill the job until much later in the year. I think they'll probably let interim coaches flesh out the rest of the season. They know they get a fresh start. They know they probably get the pick of the litter. Whoever wants the job will reach out to them, I'm sure, because it's a pristine premier job. But, I mean, Bogues, if we fast forward the clock and the Jaguars are 3-12, and it's Christmas. Do I believe what he says today reflects how he'll feel then? That, hey, it's not a 3 or 4 year plan. It's an everyday plan. We're here to build something. There's no chance that I would leave this. Yada yada yada. I just don't think whatever he says today will necessarily reflect how he will feel when an actual decision will be made by USC.
I don't even know that it reflects what he feels in reality right now. I don't think you can ignore him, forget him, discount him until somebody else has that job. I mean, I think as long as that job stays open, and you're right, it's going to stay open probably for the entirety of this college football season, because every other name involved, except for Bob Stoops, is a current coach, whether it's Luke Fickell or James Franklin.
Peterson has been.
That's true, too, Chris Peterson. But to me, Fickell, with his connection to Mike Bone, the AD now at USC, who hired him in Cincinnati, and then Franklin, who may or may not have mutual interest with them as well, like, those guys are obviously not taking this job now in season. So I think, you know, we're months away from the Trojans picking somebody. So as long as it's open, I think Urban has to be in play, because I also don't see bright skies in front of him immediately in Jacksonville, where things are going to settle down and all of a sudden all the things that might or may not be going on right now are going to disappear. So, yeah, this story is far from over.
Yeah, it's a good point. Luke Fickell, Matt Campbell, James Franklin, if any of those guys are the guys for USC, they're not taking the job on Halloween. they've got their own football season to flesh out, to coach. And so they would leave before the bowl game probably. That's usually when these things happen. So now you're talking about late December, around Christmas or New Year's, what have you. Whatever Urban Meyer says today is not necessarily the reflection of how he'll feel then, or the reality of the situation, or, you know, what happens if they're 3-12 or 3-13 or 3-14 when the job is about to be decided and Urban Meyer's getting run out of town. I mean, it's distinctly possible that Trevor Lawrence looks terrible and there's friction inside the locker room and they don't like his whole song and dance and they think he's too college and the town's like, ah, you know what, this Urban Meyer thing didn't really necessarily work out and we're ruining Trevor Lawrence, what have you, and they don't want him there. I mean, that's certainly possible. Not that Jacksonville is the hottest kitchen in the world, but, you know, it's possible he's like, oh, they don't want me here either, so why wouldn't I leave to take the USC job?
Yeah, see, I hadn't thought about that his welcome in Jacksonville would wear out that quickly. To me, this is all about him going, what in the world did I do? This doesn't work. Like, I don't want to be an NFL head coach. So I hadn't thought about them wanting him out. But, I mean, if all of these reports are true from multiple different sources, guys who are plugged in, that it's this dicey in there, I mean, all of these things are now on the table, and all of them should have been on the table to begin with, which is the other part of this to me. Like, almost everyone saw some version of this coming when he took this job, that if he didn't change his right ways, it was going to be like this. The only surprise might be how fast it got like this in Jacksonville.
One game.
One preseason, one game.
And it's the confluence of a terrible series of events is that USC happened to lose to Stanford in week two, and so Clay Helton gets the boot, and the Jaguars lost to the worst team in the NFL by two touchdowns in week one. Mm-hmm. So it's like this happened as early as literally humanly possible. It could not have happened any earlier than this because of the timing of those things. The other part is, like, do you ever trust what Urban Meyer is saying is what he actually believes? I mean, you kind of always assume he might be lying. There's just like that part of Urban Meyer's history where you're like,
and he's earned it.
Could be lying here. Could definitely be lying. Mraz, do you buy the Urban Meyer no chance that I would leave to go back to coach USC?
The only reason I would buy it is if USC has already called him and said, hey, before you think about it, there's no chance we're going to hire you. Other than that, of course not. Urban just doesn't know what to say now. He has to just try to save face. But in reality, I already think Urban Meyer's got to be thinking of an exit plan because the NFL seems to already have overwhelmed him.
And isn't it funny that every one of us, I think, I don't want to speak for you guys, but I would assume if he takes the USC job, USC is a top 5 team within his second year.
Yes.
I don't think it would take very long for them to be the power of the Pac-12 or them in Oregon and one of the best teams in college football. And the alternative is, I don't think any of us believe the Jaguars will be any good in the next couple of years.
No.
So the reality is that if he went to USC, they would automatically he would be great at it. And if he stays in Jacksonville, he's probably going to be bad at it.
This USC situation has potential to really make, whenever we talk about college coaches taking NFL jobs and we think about failures of Spurrier and Saban, I think it's very much on the table that a year from now we're talking about Urban Meyer as the poster boy of that.
Yeah, it's in play. Yeah, it's in play.
Well, let me ask you this. In a vacuum, nothing else matters. He would be your first hire out of the group that we've mentioned, right?
No doubt.
Right. So, I mean, yeah. Like, that's how significant, like, the stat blew my mind this week. The Jags being 0-1 is the first time he's ever had a losing record. He was never below 500 in 17 college football seasons because he always won week one.
Yeah.
He had never had a losing record until this weekend.
Yeah, that includes Bowling Green in
right.
Utah.
Yeah.
The Jaguars would be better suited with Eric Bieniemy than they are Urban Meyer, and USC would be better suited with Urban Meyer than they would Eric Bieniemy.
It's true. If you cobble together any coaching list for USC, now, I don't trust Urban Meyer to run my program in terms of, you know, allegations, investigations, that type of stuff. But winning, he's the best candidate for that job. There's no doubt. He's the best candidate for the job. Now, he has the potential to leave you in ruins, as he has done before, or lie about some type of family situation or illness and leave you high and dry if he suddenly doesn't want to be there. But in terms of winning and winning big, he's definitely the best candidate on a potential list. When we come back here on the show, your best audio of the day. Chandler Jones had a historic performance in week number one. Can he follow it up? And we hear from another football star, this time a Hall of Famer, who's still at odds with his former team over $1 million. That's coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Thursday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We are live in Boise, Idaho. The Permission Granted Tour Part 2 is here. Back to Boise. And this morning we are broadcasting live from Dutch Bros on Milwaukee. Stop on by. Watch the show. It's a beautiful morning to be outside and feel alive here in the Mountain West. And we are loving being out here and appreciative of the great hospitality. Our friends at KTIK The Ticket have been amazing. They always are. And we are out here at Dutch Bros on Milwaukee this morning, broadcasting live. So come on out and watch the show and hang out with us. We got some gift cards left for some early birds that might stop on by. So get here and get them. You can also listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on SiriusXM Channel 206. And you can also stream us using your app, the CBS Sports app or the Odyssey app. So I flew in to Boise on Monday night, and I only had one stipulation if we decided to come back out here. I had such a wonderful time, my first time back in 2018, that when management from KTIK asked, would you like to come back out, Don, who is an amazing GM of the cluster of affiliates here, KTIK and other radio stations, I said, I've only got one stipulation, Don. I want to come out for longer this time, and I want to go fishing. And he said, we can make that happen. So that's why yesterday morning I broadcasted live from McCall, which is a couple of hours north of Boise, a beautiful mountain resort town, because that was going to be our jumping off point to go fishing, because we then went another 2 hours beyond that to the Snake River and a place called Hell's Canyon, and we took a jet boat tour. And I'm telling you, this is a once-in-a-lifetime type of experience that I had, a total bucket list item, but it's unlike a bucket list where you kind of check off like, oh, that's something I want to do. It was something I could have never conceived of doing. So we go out, and first of all, Snake Canyon, or Hell's Canyon and the Snake River is just gorgeous. Huge mountains, and you're down to this canyon. At one point, the height discrepancy between where you are on the water and the peaks of the mountains you're around are like 8,000 feet. Like, the peak is 10,000 feet up. That's like 2 miles, and you're at like 1,800 feet or something. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's rugged. It's everything. But we also are taking rapids on our jet boat, and we're fishing for sturgeon. And it is just all types of crazy. Now, if you don't know sturgeon, sturgeon are like ancient dinosaur fish. They are more sharks or dinosaurs than they are fish, and they get absolutely enormously long. And how you fish for them is, I guess there's multiple ways to fish for them, but how we fished for them, we stopped and we fished for bass, and then we used the heads of the bass as the bait. That's how large these things are. When you fight them, you don't fight them like, oh, it's like a bass or it's like a trout. You know, you fight them for 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and you reel them in. No, you fight them for a couple of hours, essentially. I was wondering if when one was on the hook, if I was going to have to do the broadcast from the riverboat, because we could have been out there all night. Our captain was named Jeff, and he's part of Kilgore Adventures, based out of Riggins. Or around Riggins. I'll ask him the specifics here. But he was absolutely amazing. This guy was the best captain of a boat I have ever been on. And I don't say that lightly, because I've been on a lot of good boats before. Never anything like this. Jeff joins us this morning on the show. Jeff, my man, good morning.
Morning, buddy. How you doing?
Dude, I'm doing good. I'm a little sore. I think I might have thrown out my shoulder or something yesterday, but I'm feeling okay. How you feeling?
I'm doing good. I didn't have to reel one in. You did.
Man, so yesterday was...
I figured your arms would be sore this morning, bud.
No kidding. I mean, I couldn't have drafted a better day, but I got to imagine when you saw us get on that boat, you're like, oh, a bunch of city slickers. I mean, you know, I walk on this boat here and you're looking at me, and I'm sure you don't think of me as an outdoorsman. You're like, oh my God, what, this guy will barely be able to pull in a bass if I ask him to do that. So what's the first inclination when a bunch of radio guys get on that jet boat?
Well, you know, I just knew we had to run and gun. And when you guys got in the boat, you know, we just threw you guys in. We'll see what happens. I mean, we get a lot of people from the city, you know, and so it's not where you're from or what you do. It's what happens when you get up there. You guys had a limited time frame. We were on a big crunch, and we got up there, and we ended up with the A-team. I mean, we got in there, got our bait quick, got up to the sturgeon hole quick. I mean, took all of us. You guys killed it. As far as that goes, I mean, we see all sorts of people from the city or from the outdoors, and it doesn't really matter where you're from, but it depends on what you want to get done, when you do, and you guys came and did it. We got it done quick.
We did
full day's fishing in one day, and it took all of us.
I appreciate you not judging, because we get out there, and so you're like, drop the lines, we're going to catch some bass. And I'm like, great, we'll go bass fishing today. That's awesome. You're like, just pull them up as quickly as we can get them, because that's bait for today. I'm like, oh, really? Oh, so we're not really bass fishing. We're actually just grabbing bait for the day. So we end up pulling up about 5 smallmouth bass. And you're like, yep, we're going to use this for bait. I'm going to chop the heads off, and this is what we're using. I'm like, holy crap. So then we get to the sturgeon hole, and you wait. How much weight were on each one of those rods?
Oh, yesterday we had a pretty low flow in the morning there before it released, so we were using 8 ounces of weight first thing yesterday morning, and get it down there and get it to hold in there.
So 8 ounces of weight, and you, first of all, you are driving this boat at like a million miles an hour to me. I mean, we're in this boat and we're going up Hell's Canyon. I'm like, holy crap, this is like an adventure ride itself. This is like, you know, I shot out of a slingshot. Do you normally drive the jet boat that fast, or was that because we were crunched for time?
We were running a little bit faster than normal. We didn't have a big crew, and we knew we were crunched for time a little bit. But we're usually running probably 35 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour. When you're doing that in a boat, 35 miles an hour is pretty dang fast. But we were running just a little bit faster than normal just to get up there and get it all done in our time frame.
Were there two Ferrari engines that were on this jet boat?
There's Corvette motors in that one. Well, that boat, Kurt, my boss, my buddy and my boss, he put those new LT4 Chevys in that thing, and they got 650 horse apiece, so we've got two of them in there. And so just cruising speed in that boat's fast, you know. So if you open it up, it goes a heck of a lot faster than what you guys got to see, that's for sure.
Jeff, my captain yesterday from Kilgore Adventures, joins us here on the show. So we get to the sturgeon hole. This is amazing. So you cast out a couple of rods. And I got to tell you, Jeff, I'm thinking like we had seen one boat that we had passed by, and he's like, oh, yeah, we just caught a sturgeon. And I'm thinking to myself, like, if I see a sturgeon today that somebody else catches, I'll be, you know, in heaven. That's amazing to me. I had no thoughts like we have to catch a sturgeon today. I had no idea what that was like. And then you cast these two rods in, and I'm thinking, okay, day of fishing, you know, you're out there and you spend an hour there or an hour and a half there. You eat a little lunch, you have a beer, what have you. You're like, no, get ready. If you see those lines tingling, you get ready. And so we see one of those lines tingling not long after you threw that line in. I mean, maybe 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes or so. And you're like,
oh,
we got
one. Oh, it was quick yesterday.
We got one. And then I grab the pole once it's on. And my God, you're like, okay, did you do your workouts today? Like, what do you mean? You're like, you're going to need everything. And that fight of that sturgeon was unlike anything I've ever tried to fight. I mean, it was like pulling an anvil to the boat, and then it's pulling you out, zzz, and you just can't do anything about it. Like, when that's swimming away from you, you can't do anything about it. That fish is heavier than you are, and it's gonna win that day. And so that fight is just one of the craziest things ever. And that was the first of three of them on the day. So you can be honest. That was the first fight of my life on a sturgeon. How'd I do on round one?
You killed it. You killed it. The biggest thing with those fish is not letting that line go slack. You know, a lot of those people that we get up here, you'll get overly excited, get, you know, oh my goodness, you know, it is the fish of their life. And so they'll kind of hit like a little bit of panic mode and let the line go slack, and they don't keep that rod bent. You know, we're running all barbless hooks on them. And so... Heck, on your first one, you did great. On the second one, you totally killed it. So I said that while you were doing it. I'm like, you've done this before. I could tell.
I didn't know if you were just glossing me a little bit. But, I mean, my arms were sore. You actually had to get under the rod at one point and let me lean it on your shoulder because it was so heavy to keep that rod tip up. And so I catch this first one, and it's like, I think it was 5'7". It was 5'7". Yes, that's the size of the sturgeon. So it's basically like I caught Barry Sanders. And then the second one, my buddy Nick, he reels it in, and that one's over 7 feet tall. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then the third one that we get, I get back on the third rod, and that one, which was a little bit later in the day, ends up, I think we clocked it at 7'11". Is that right?
Yeah, we're just shy 8 foot.
I mean, so basically I caught something that was larger than Yao Ming and probably heavier as well. And the most amazing thing is that, Jeff, when you're getting the sturgeon to the boat because you can't lift it out of the water, Jeff jumps into the water to guide the fish to the shore. He jumps in and grabs it. And, Jeff, this is the most amazing thing of all time. You grab it while it's in the water in the mouth, right? You grab it from the jaw and you slightly try to flip it on its back.
Yeah, you know, they don't have any teeth. You know, they're just a big suction cup underneath these fish. So when you go and jump in the water, the main reason, two reasons you jump in the water, because when you try to swing one of those big fish up towards the bank, a lot of times they'll try to dive under the boat. And if that line hits the chine, then your hour and a half's worth of work is all gone. And so just by jumping in the water, you get away from that, and you also get away from that fish getting up on the bank and going crazy and beating itself up in the rock. So I just jump in, grab them. As soon as you turn them over, most sharks are the exact same way. They go into a tonic state called tonic immobility, and they go upside down, and they go pretty well docile for the most part. And so that way it's just a lot better on the fish, we pretty well guarantee that we actually get the fish instead of working our butts off right till the end. So it seems like, oh my goodness, you're swimming with a shark, but he doesn't have teeth. They're pretty big gentle giants once we get them. Yeah, you grab them, flip them upside down, swim them over the bank, and take your picture and let them go on their way.
That's amazing. So you guide them over to the bank, and then whoever catches the fish has to jump in the water. And so it's not like, 6 inches of water. You have to take your phone out and your wallet out of your pockets and everything, and you got to put it on the boat, and you got to then get in the water, usually up to your chest, and then you get down under the sturgeon, and then everybody's kind of holding at you, and then your crewmate, Paul, who was awesome as well, and the three of us kind of hold this enormous animal to take photos, and then you gently, guide it back into the water because they are protected. And they're enormous, and they are beautiful, and they're incredible, but you can't take them out of there, and, you want to protect them because these are old, ancient beasts. And so the whole thing is amazing, and you really cared about the health and the wellness and the safety of the fish, which was amazing because, these guys are older than we are, these fish that we caught. So it's like, you're catching your elders. So, you want to make sure you respect them. So the whole experience was wild, and I got to say, man, you're amazing. I mean, the whole experience was so amazing, and I can't encourage anybody more to go to Kilgore Adventures, and if they can get you, Jeff, and your crew, man, you guys are the best. That was just a wild, mind-blowing experience.
Well, you guys were awesome, D.A. I appreciate it, man. You can definitely find us Instagram at Kilgore Adventures, Facebook, and everything else. I really appreciate it. You guys were awesome. I hope to see you guys up here again.
I totally want to come back and maybe bring my brother and my dad, who I grew up fishing with. The only thing is that when we came back down the river and we took the rapids, I think you were trying to scare the city slickers. I think when you were taking those those rocks, you're like, you started playing AC/DC. I mean, once you started doing that, I'm like, oh, okay, I get this now. It was like, we were in a log flume. You took that down so that the water came up over the top and went and totally soaked me. So that... You got a little showmanship in you too, Jeff.
Well, a lot of those rapids, it's the best way to get down. And then the rest of the time, there's more than just fishing out there. The big whitewater ride's fun too. So you might as well get it all in one day, So we went up, got our fish, went up to the dam, saw our bears, did everything. And then we saw a bear. Well, we saw bighorn sheep. We pretty much got it all. And so it'd be just kind of a bummer to come out when it's hot and not get the good ride too. So about half of that is us splashing you and having some fun. And then the other half is those rapids are no joke. And a few of them, that's just the best way to get down through them is slow and take a wave or two and then get out of there.
Yeah, no doubt. It was amazing. My only question is, we saw one raft that had two topless women in it. Is that common for Idaho? You're not supposed to wear tops when you're out on in Hell's Canyon?
Well,
is that right?
It just added to the wildlife yesterday.
Got it.
It didn't suck.
It didn't suck. Amazing. Jeff at Kilgore Adventures. Dude, I can't thank you enough, man. You gave me the ride of a lifetime. So thanks so much for finding time for us this morning as well. And be well, buddy. I'll hopefully be back.
All right, man. Yeah, I am literally sitting on top of the path, getting ready to drop back in there. And we've got another 6-person charter to go do. So I'll get at that. And you have a good day, buddy.
You too, man. Be well.
All right. See you later, D.A.
Jeff from Kilgore Adventures. Now, I posted a bunch of pictures of yesterday's adventure on my Instagram, so you can follow me there and check it out at Damon Amendo. The picture of my sturgeon's not on there yet because I didn't take it. Obviously, I was in the water with it. But some of the guys from the boat sent me some pictures late last night, early this morning, so I'm going to post those when I get a chance this morning. But I got Nick's, who is on there as well. But I'm telling you, folks, when he jumped in the water – with a 7-foot fish, and he was swimming next to it, bringing it by the jaw to the banks. I'm like, that's a man.
Yeah.
That what I'm doing is child's play. What he's doing is what men do.
Yeah, and another thing that I can't fathom doing, just confirming my non-man status. I mean, and he does it every single day.
Yeah.
Over and over again, yeah, like it's right. Nothing. Yeah. He's jumping into water. I mean, sure, they're docile. They have no teeth. Okay, but they're still 7'11".
Exactly.
And how many pounds? Thrashing around?
Yep.
No thanks.
Exactly.
I'll just watch Deadliest Catch from my couch.
They asked me, hey, if Bogus and Mraz were here, would they have liked this? And I'm like, I think they would have liked the adventure. I'm not sure about the sturgeon part. The rapids, yeah, absolutely. I think you would have had fun there.
I mean, I'd give it a try, but the amount of time before I tap out yeah. off the rod is pretty quick.
An amazing day, man. And it's just par for the course that when I've come to Idaho these two times, 3 years ago and then today, this time around, everybody here has just gone above and beyond to make me feel welcome and to give me a great experience and adventure, which is why I am just so thankful and appreciative of the people here, from the listeners to the management here, to everybody involved. It's just all good people, and everybody just wants everybody to have such a good time. And that's something I'm really, really, really blessed to have and really grateful for. So yesterday was wild. And I'll get into a little bit more of the details a little later on in the show, because I couldn't get to everything in that interview. But I do want to highlight a few other incidents that transpired yesterday, which was amazing. AB has our headline this morning. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
We got a headline sponsored by Kilgore Adventures. It didn't suck. I like that tagline.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays and Red Sox won in the afternoon, so the Yankees had to follow suit in the last night at the right time.
And the pitch is popped up into shallow left center, and it drops. How do you like that? Wade scores, and here comes Torres. He scores on a little bloop single by Gardner to left center. So the Yankees take a 4-3 lead.
Yeah, I didn't really like it, John Sterling. The Yankees stealing that 4-3 win at Camden Yards to stay in that virtual tie with Toronto and Boston for the two wild cards. But don't forget, the Sox are one back in the loss column. The A's held off the Royals 12-10 to snap their three-game slide. They passed Seattle for second in the AL West, but are seven games behind the Astros, who took care of the Rangers 7-2. The Giants' nine-game win streak ends 9-6 to the Padres, while the Dodgers were beating Arizona 5-3, so LA is now a game and a half back in the NL West. The Cardinals completing a three-game sweep of the Mets, 11-4. St. Louis still leads San Diego by a game for the second NL wild card. The Reds are 1.5 back after a 5-4 loss in Pittsburgh. Cincy has dropped 7 of 9. Thursday Night Football has the Giants in Washington. New York has won their last five meetings. The Cowboys have lost defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence to a broken foot suffered in practice yesterday. It requires surgery. And Raiders D-tackle Gerald McCoy reportedly out for the season after hurting a knee in Monday night's win over the Ravens. We mentioned Urban Meyer denying USC rumors. Penn State head coach James Franklin not denying them as strongly. Franklin did say yesterday there's a lot of misinformation circling him right now, but he also said he has discussed the rumors with his staff and his players and will do so with recruits. Five-star high school forward Chris Livingston committed to Kentucky yesterday. That gives John Calipari 3 five-star commits in the class of 2022. And a lot of scoring in MLS last night. Real Salt Lake topped San Jose 4-3 to take over the top spot in the Western Conference. Sporting KC routed Minnesota United 4-0, and CF Montreal down Orlando City 4-2. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. As I had mentioned earlier, we were supposed to do sound check, so I'll do that. Best audio of the day coming up here next after the break, and that includes a Pro Football Hall of Famer who's at odds, at war with his old team. So we'll do that coming up here next. We are live from Dutch Bros on Milwaukee in Boise. Come out and see us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Cardinals pass rusher Chandler Jones sacked Ryan Tannehill three times in the first quarter and five times overall. Is he looking for his new deal?
I think I play best when I don't go on thinking about the deal or the contract. Is it something that, I mean, off the field that, yeah, I mean, of course. I don't know where I'm going to live next year, you know? But in the same situation, I think when the season starts, I even tell my agent, let's put all that to a side. You know, you take care of that. If you want to talk about it, you talk about it. As far as for me, I'm going to play, and I'm going to play my best football, and we'll see what happens then.
It's the best attitude to take for any professional athlete. Let your agent worry about the contract. Let the teams do that. You go out there and ball, and if you have five sack performances, you will get paid. Here's Calvin Johnson, Pro Football Hall of Famer. He refuses to go back and do anything with the Lions until they pay him $1.6 million that he is owed.
It's the principle of it. Like, no, you cannot have me back unless you put that money back in my pocket. I ain't got to do it all at once. You ain't got to do it, but you got to commit to do it in the right way. You know, don't have me. I'm not working for it. I don't mind coming and doing work for the organization because I love football, love pouring back into the team. But there ain't no way in the world I'm coming back over there to do anything unless that's coming back, and I see how it's coming back.
I side with Calvin Johnson here. That audio courtesy of In Depth with Graham Bensinger. It's only $1.6 million. Lions, just pay him. It's chump change to make sure one of your legends is back in good graces and likes to be around. And finally, here's Al Dukes on WFAN in New York's warm-up show, whose geography might be worse than Mraz's.
Who's going to Albuquerque?
Where did Edwin Diaz play minor league baseball?
Is Albuquerque in
New Mexico?
I'm going to ask a really stupid question, which I'm sure I know the answer to, but at this moment, I'm not 100% sure. That's the United States, right?
New Mexico?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yes.
Albuquerque.
Come on. Al's a generally pretty smart guy, folks. That can't be. He thought New Mexico might not be a state?
I mean, I know nothing apparently about things west of Denver, so I'm not sure if I can point fingers, but I feel like New Mexico should not trip up any adult, so yeah, shame on Al.
I mean, you know why people think there's an East Coast bias is because idiots like this don't even know if New Mexico's a state. Is it America? Yes, it's been a state for probably 100 and some odd years here. Don't let the new trip you up there. It's not Mexico. It's new. It's actually a state.
If it wasn't in America, what would we have in America? Newer Mexico? What was he looking for there?
Next Mexico? When we come back here on the DA Show, Reggie Brooks, Notre Dame All-American running back, is going to join us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.